faith and deeds, he says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds or works? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and be well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God. Well, that's good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You, O foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness,' and he was called a friend of God, or God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you again for just being together as a body of believers and being able to worship you and sing praises to your name. And Father, I thank you for this church and its purpose, why it is here in this property and its mission in this area. Father, we've been singing praises to you. We're thankful that the love from the Savior is so strong that we sing these songs that prove of your love for us. And now, Father, as we come to this passage of Scripture of what it means to faith our understanding and our belief system out, we pray, Father, that everything we say and do would be in keeping with your will and wishes. We pray for the power of your Holy Spirit right now as we speak on these passages. Father, more than anything else, I pray that when we leave here in the next few moments that we would be forever changed, that we would be more mature in you, that we would be closer to you because of our time together with you today. In Christ's name, amen. Last week we talked about what James says when it talks about having favorite, that issue of favoritism in the church. And it was, if we remember the points, it was not to love is not to obey, and not to discriminate is to celebrate. And so the issue is that the Christian is not to discriminate. But today we're going to find out that the Christian is not to discriminate, but rather to demonstrate. What does it mean to faith it out? We have all kinds of understandings of faith. But what does it really mean for the believer? We've got, this is the world's understanding of what we're going to share. It's about a minute and a half. Have you got it? Okay, let's watch this, and we'll talk about what faith really means, what faith really is.
Thank you.
faith. What does it mean to? Okay. Hey, all right, Barbie. What is Carla? We're ready. But faith. What does it mean to have faith? And usually when I talk about faith, this was new. I've never used this before. I usually use a broken chair, and I have somebody come and sit on the broken chair, and no one's going to sit on the broken chair and all of that. You're sitting on nice, comfortable pews, and you trust those pews to sit on them. I want to tell you one thing before we get into this, because this just happened about 10 minutes ago. I said a few weeks ago, I mentioned to Pastor Don about shoes, because my sons are always going to my wardrobe and my closet and stealing my shoes, and they borrow my shoes, and I never know what's going to happen. Barbara knows my sons, and you just never know what's going to happen. But things just disappear and appear. Well, my left shoe just broke, okay? So if I fall, then you know that's an issue in faith. I am faithing it out today and walking around with the broken shoe that my son borrowed, and I'm going to call him after the service is over. But what does it mean to have faith? Christian people know not to discriminate, but to demonstrate. To demonstrate. Faith is active. Faith is a belief that God will act. Faith is not invisible. It's on display. But what does it profit, the Bible says? If someone says he has faith, but not works, can faith save him? This is very interesting. This passage of Scripture, when it comes to James, there is a demonstration of faith. Now, it's very important here to see that my hero in all of church history is Martin Luther. And Luther hated the book of James when it came to theology because of this chapter, and he called James the strong epistle. To Luther, we are justified by faith, not by works in the book of Romans, that the just shall live by faith. But James says here that true faith is a demonstration, because of faith being active, works will be demonstrated. Works will be generated. You'll be able to see the fruit. And so, first of all, we see the demonstration of faith in verses 14 through 18. Show faith by action. Not holy talk, but a spiritual walk. If a brother or sister is naked and is in need of food, and we say, depart, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them what they need for the body, what does it profit? Is our religion any good? Don't you, let's just be honest here, don't you hate it when you have a lot going on, you're busy, you're doing life, and you're coming up against obstacles, trials, and someone comes along and says, hey, how are you? And you tell them, and they say to you, well, you know what? I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. Hey, bro, I'm praying for you. Hey, dude, I'm praying for you. Do you get that? I hate that. If you're really praying, then I'm thankful. But it comes some sort of byword, a buzzword, to kind of just connect to say that I am leaving. And by the way, I hope everything works for you. When I was at Southwestern Seminary in Texas, my car got stuck in ice. You all know I'm a South Floridian. I'm not used to snow and ice. And my battery went out at the mall on Friday night. Was Christmas shopping. I called a friend. His name was Scott. So I'd been to college with Scott, been to seminary with Scott. And it was 20 degrees. I was stuck in the parking lot. Scott lived four houses down from me, and so I gave him a call. I went to the payphone, and I called him, and I said, Scott, I'm stuck here. I need some help. He said, you know, I'd love to help you, but I'm sorry. I can't help you. It's family night. But you know what? I'll be praying for you. Fool, you know. Faith demonstrates by action. There are four marks of authentic Christian faith in these next few verses. Faith is not uncaring, because useless. If it's uncaring, it's useless. Faith is not unattached by itself. It stands alone. It's not unnoticed. It's not to be kept in secret. It's a demonstration of who we are as believers. It's uneducated. There's this understanding of a, well, you know, my faith is an intellectual type of thing. No. But faith demonstrates by love. He says, show your love in your faith by love. It's not an intellectual belief, but a holy faith. James says that even the demons believe and they tremble or they shudder. The demons know of God's power, but they don't believe in Him. They believe in the devil. The demons have this understanding. They know Jesus. They know the cross. They know the crucifixion. They know the cross and the death and the burial and resurrection. They know all of that. But they don't surrender their lives. They don't surrender over. You can know about God, but not know God personally. Because knowing God personally causes a change. A change in our life, a change in who we are, a change you can tell. So one says, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. So faith is action. Secondly, faith without action is nothing. It is dead. Faith in Jesus is action. It's doing things. It's working out what is learned in the Bible. It is ministry. It's helping. It's praying for the lost. It's having an attitude that serves people, not making fun of them, but serving them and praying. Remember we talked about in the first chapter, pure religion is praying and caring for the orphans, the widows, doing something about it. We have a planter that is planting in the Ormond Beach area. And he started a church on the pier there, off of Granada. And he had a conversion. And this guy is having a difficult time. And he needed shelter. And so the other day he was calling me up. We're trying to get him hooked into somewhere and all of that. But it was interesting. Because I was passing by and, well, do you know of a shelter, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, check this, this, and this. And I kept going. But this guy had the passion and the love and the care and everything to really make it happen. That's action. It's doing something about it. The Bible here in James gives two examples of faith. Abraham, first of all, we see Abraham. Jewish, the patriarch. Abraham was a guy that just went and did what God said to do. Abraham was known for faith in that. Now, he didn't always do it. There are a couple of blips in Abraham's life, but he didn't always demonstrate faith, but he was known for his faith that God would work, that God would intervene, that God would take care, that God would do it. And we know the story about Abraham and Isaac, the idea of sacrificing a son. He knew God would provide in some form, some way, God would do it. And if you don't like Abraham, then they got Rahab. Rahab is another example of faith. But here we've got a Jewish, what we know as the patriarch. And by the way, if you're interested in religions, the only person that accepted by Christians, Jews, and the Muslim faith is Father Abraham. That's the importance of Abraham. But then we go to Rahab. We see Abraham the Jewish, Rahab Gentile. Rahab is another story. Rahab the prostitute. Now, why is Rahab mentioned here? She was faithful. She was faithful. If we know the story about Rahab, she hid the spies. God saw her faith in action. And she did as God told her. And so two examples of faith and faithing it out, demonstrating faith. Faith is action. Faith is working. Faith is making sure that it happens. 15 ways that God uses our faith. How genuine faith works. Faith is visible. You see it. Somehow, some way, it's going to demonstrate out. Even though faith is quiet, faith is visible. Faith inspires. Faith produces. Faith endures trials. Faith is perseverance. Let me tell you, this past week I was at the North American Mission Board Church Planting Assessment Retreat. It was exciting to see there were 9 couples that were being assessed for church planting through the state of Florida. And it was just exciting, it was good, but some miracles, personal miracles, took place in my life while I was there. I could not believe there were two. One was a girl that popped up. She was in my 7th grade when I was doing youth work. She popped up out of the blue. I had not seen her. I had seen her at an anniversary, but not really talked to her, but I did see her across the church. But she had married a church planter, and they went to California, they went to Indiana, and they came back, and now they were planting in South Florida. Wow. Incredible. Another was a guy that was in my college ministry. And he was planting. And what was amazing was the fact is that how God intervenes and works and intertwines and does all of this stuff in our lives. And you realize all of the people, if you've been teaching Sunday school for a while, or if you've been in church for a while, if you've been in ministry in a while, you've been doing something for a while, you see how God takes and molds people. You never, ever, ever know. But faith is perseverance. Faith endures trials. Faith obeys the Word of God. Faith harbors no prejudice. Faith controls the tongue. Faith shares the vision of what God has done and what God will do. Faith is wisdom. Faith pursues integrity. Faith submits to authority. Faith resists the adversary. Faith humbles the believer. A very humbling thing to watch faith work. Faith waits on the Lord. And this is so different. You want to just outrun God sometimes and make it happen. And sometimes the human spirit and human will is strong. And sometimes we have to wait on God, and that's so difficult. Pastor Search Team, we're praying for you. You're doing the work. Pray for the search team. Pray for the leadership. Pray for the deacons. And it's kind of like in some churches, I want to thank you for your patience as you're allowing the search team to do its ministry and do its work. It's in some churches you get this, you know, well, do we got a preacher yet? You know, come on, let's go. You know, and sometimes you just gotta work the process and pray through it and make sure that everything is done in God's timing. But faith waits on the Lord. Faith stifles complaining. Faith comes out of nowhere. And the ability to faith it out. One of the things, my special needs son is now 20 years old. And when we started this journey, it's not been a fun journey. It's not been a pretty journey. It's not, but it's amazing how God has worked things out. One of those things, if you know the autistic world, you know, you just don't go somewhere. You know, when it starts school, you just don't say, okay, Monday we go to school and you go to school. No, you gotta take the boy to school the week before so he meets his teacher, so he sees where he's going, what he's doing. And those first few years, we were so nervous because he's going in a strange place and he can't communicate. You know, we don't know. But let me tell you how God works it out. Summer school, his first time in summer school, he would have been about, I guess, 5 or 6. And we took him to meet his teacher the day before summer school would start. And unfortunately, his teacher wasn't there. But we were able to, you know, you could see his classroom and all of that. So, you know, the next day we go. It's the first day of summer school. And we walk in. And guess who his teacher was? His teacher was his babysitter, who was in the college ministry at our church, who was doing an internship as she graduated and was looking for a job. And how many times all through elementary and middle school did we find that somehow, some way, his teachers or his the people that would work around him were connected to various churches and various people that we are connected to. Amazing. That's faith. That's praying it through and faithing it out. So faith, genuine faith, is active. It is a belief that God will do. It's a demonstration. It displays itself. You don't have to tell people, but God will do it through you. Christian people don't discriminate. There is to be no favoritism. And Christian people know how to demonstrate. Because the Christian life is a life of action. No matter what you do, no matter what your position is, whether you're retired or not, whatever it is, your life is a demonstration of what Christ has done and how Christ has changed you through the cross and the resurrection of Christ. I want to close with a story. It's interesting. I always it's amazing that God would I did student work for years, youth and college work, and it's always very rewarding. College work is probably more difficult if you're working with college. It's very interesting because these are life-changing things. And I said, I've watched it in my life, I've watched it in others' lives. Somehow between 17 and 20s, and in my day it was about 18 or 19, I think now it's a little later. By the way, you're millennials. Do you like to be called millennials, or do you hate to be called millennials, or do you care? It doesn't matter. Because I have a daughter that hates to be called millennial. She's a millennial, okay? Anyway, I knew that I was going to do something in ministry at a young age. But I didn't know how to get there. I didn't know how to get over there. And everybody, you hit a wall. Everybody, somehow, some way, it doesn't matter how smart you are, or it doesn't matter how talented you are. Everybody in life hits a wall at a certain time, and usually right in that time of adolescence. And so I started, my testimony, I knew I was going to do something in ministry. I was thankful for a good, healthy church. And at the same time, we had a roofing business, and roofers are not known for being godly people. I was trying to figure out how to get there in the ministry. And what I found was the older I got and the more time I spent with the roofing crew, and I was at a cross point in my life. And either I needed to get away from these guys, or I was going to become like them. And I didn't want to do that. And so I went to Palm Beach Atlantic College, but I was, it was a great experience, but at the time I was not ready to, I was not ready to settle down and study, okay? Let's put it that way. And so I spent more time out of the classroom on the beach with the surfer guys, and did not go to class. And so because you don't go to class, you can do that in high school, you can get away with it, but you gotta. Right? Am I right? I mean, but you got to study when you get to college. And so what I found was, they don't care, they're not going to check on you if you don't go to class, you just get an F, right? And so I failed Spanish, though I never went to class. I failed Spanish. I ended up acing Greek, and they said, how do you do that? But, so I went home for a semester. And it was advised to me to spend a semester home and figure out what I wanted to do. And so I was a church janitor at my church, and I went back to the roofing crew. I did two jobs. And we had a preschool, and so I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. And it was just a long day, you know, between being a church janitor, being on a roofing crew. And about 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, I was in my Sunday school class cleaning my Sunday school class, and I was reading a Christian magazine, Campus Life, and ran across what became my life verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And I sat there and I said, you know, God, if this is what you want from me, this is what I will do. But this is not what I want for my life. This is not what I want to do. I want to do something for you. We walk by faith and not by sight. So I went back to school at the end of the semester, started going to class, started making A's and B's, passing. I became the grader for the theology department, and then, you know, life goes on from there. But what I found is that the Christian faith, there's theory and there's doing. There's the idea of saying, "I have faith," and then there's the work, the doing of it and the demonstration of it. And when it comes to our Christian faith, we're going to demonstrate. How do you demonstrate? You're going to demonstrate by faithing things out. People are going to know. People are going to know that you're different. People are going to see the demonstration, the fruit, whether it's by the things that we do by love, whether it's action, helping, serving, being, doing. Because the Christian faith, you can't just sit over here in a corner and hide. No. Even though faith may be quiet, faith is working out those things. Show me by faith, and I'll show you my faith by the things that I do. Not salvation. That was the issue. You cannot work yourself to the cross. We cannot earn ourselves to the cross. We can't do things. You can't outdo God. You simply surrender your life. And that is the difference between what Luther thought and what James is teaching. And by the way, if you want to check out James, look again, as we said, I meant to say this at the beginning, James is a half-brother of Jesus, and James is constantly going back and forth, and it almost reads like the Sermon on the Mount. And you can see where James has pulled things out. And so when we look at these issues of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, takes things to that next degree, that next level. And so the fact is that when it comes to faith, we do it. We demonstrate it. Now, it all starts at the foot of the cross of Christ. It all starts at the place where I can no longer do things by myself. I cannot believe in myself. I cannot take myself. I have to surrender my life and give it over to Christ and give Him the burdens, give Him my life, and I give my rights over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the grace of Christ. Remember, we said grace is not a system of things for exclusive people, but it's an all-inclusive gospel for everyone to accept. It's something that's undeserved. It's something that I didn't get. I've got 2 minutes. I'm going to... Where's Doug? Doug, can I use your testimony? I love this. I love this, and we're going to stop. I love to be around the guys on Tuesday night because I learn the stories of these people, okay, and the testimonies. And Doug has a terrific, terrific testimony. Okay? But Doug, as a kid, now I'm going to summarize, okay? As a kid, Doug did something that we probably all tried. He went and stole something from, I'm going to say, it wasn't Walgreens, but I'll say Walgreens. And Doug didn't get caught. And so he got pretty good at it through the summer. And so Towards the end of the summer, a neighbor saw him stealing a watch out of the Walgreens or something and told his father. And so his father cleaned your clock, okay, and took care of that. And not only did he get spanked for it, but he had to go to the store and apologize. Well, when he got to the store and apologized, he got so scared that he confessed to other things that he had taken. And so he got home and he got it again. And he never stole again, right? And I remember I had the same thing. As a kid, I took a candy bar. And my mom found out, and she beat the crud out of me. Took me back to the store, and I had to apologize and make restitution. The fact is that we are all, whatever it is, we're guilty of something, and that's called sin. And Jesus was the atonement for that. And there's nothing that we can do for that except to repent of our sins, to give our lives over to Christ, and to demonstrate that faith. Where are you in this thing we call life? Are you out there by yourself just trying to make things happen on your own? Or have you given your life over to Christ? If you haven't, you're in a world of hurt, of loneliness, of emptiness, of bitterness, of misunderstanding. That's just where our world is. Our world is full of brokenness. And the only way out is faithing it out through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful when we look at this understanding of faith. And it's not just, faith is not easy. Faith isn't something that we just put on. It's not a mask. Faith is living it out for you. Faith is persevering. Faith is taking the things that we know and living it out. And so, Father, I pray there's somebody here that has never accepted you. May they give themselves to you today. Oh, Father, our world is just so full of stuff and brokenness and hurt. And the only way out is through you. And so, Father, I pray there's somebody here that's never accepted you today. May they do that today. Maybe there's somebody that needs to join this church. Or, Father, maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray or get a new start, a recommitment in you. May they do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.